This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Sowing the seeds of cannabis and sounding the praise of our favorite plant, it's time to Hemp Present. Our radio resident hemposapien Vivian McPeak will present a weekly platform for guests and listeners to Hemp Present about hemp and cannabis from the legal, activist, and reformist route. Let's round up and roll it up for our headmaster of hemp, Vivian McPeak.
To the Hemp Present Resistance, the weekly radio podcast where you can get your PhD in THC because you don't just want to burn it, you want to learn it. Seeking to defeat the alternative facts of prohibition, one interview at a time, and advocating for the plant, the whole plant, and nothing but the plant. Join me for a weekly reefer radio rebellion against prohibition as I speak with some of the principal risk takers, movers and shakers, and history makers of the cannabis industry, culture, and reform movement. I'm your host, Vivian McPeak. I'm the executive director of the world's largest annual cannabis policy reform event, the Seattle Hemp Fest, entering its 27th year, founded hempfest.org. I'm also the author of the book Protestival, a 20-year retrospective of Seattle Hemp Fest from AHA Publishing, also found at hempfest.org. Today's guest on Hemp Present is author, activist, and former prisoner of the drug war, George Martorano, who will join me in about 60 seconds. In 1995, I was pulled over by the Seattle police for an inoperable license plate light. And it turned out that I had a warrant out for my arrest for failure to appear on some old traffic tickets. I ended up spending 5 days in the King County Jail before I could be seen in court. During that experience, I was stripped of my identity and at some point denied my humanity. I was essentially treated equally to people who were there, who were career criminals, who had been convicted of dangerous, violent crimes. Although it was continuously cold, all I was given to wear was a jumpsuit, socks, and plastic sandals, and the only bedding provided was a sheet and a single thin blanket. We were given three sparse meals, which sometimes consisted of a bologna sandwich and one half a slice of a bologna, an orange, some green beans, and a pint of milk. Man, how I looked forward to those three little meals. The lights were on 24 hours per day, and the noise never stopped. There were people in my cell who decided what bunk new people would sleep in and what TV program everyone was going to watch. At the end of my fifth day, I was beyond elated when I heard my name spoken over the loudspeaker, and I was able to gather up my mattress and bedding and leave that cell to prepare to be set free. I cannot tell you how good it felt to walk out of that building under the blue sky and into the fresh air, as freedom is something you never really appreciate until you've had some of it taken away. But my five-day experience in jail was like a trip to Disneyland compared to those who've experienced serious long-term incarceration. America, because of our decades-long drug war, has imprisoned more of its citizens per capita than any other nation in history. We incarcerate more Americans for nonviolent drug offenses, including cannabis, than we do for rape, murder, robbery, or aggravated assault combined. And my guest today was one of those people. In 2015, at the time of his release, George Martorano was the longest-serving first-time nonviolent offender in the Federal Bureau of Prisons. In 1988, Martorano was sentenced to life in prison without parole on drug charges. Although Martorano had never hurt anyone, he was in prison for 32 years. He had followed his attorney's advice in 1984 and pled guilty to 19 counts of drug possession and distribution. While the prosecution had only recommended a sentence of from 40 to 54 months, Martorano was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole, the longest prison term ever imposed on a first-time nonviolent offender in American history. But thankfully, George is a free man today, and he's agreed to talk with me here on Cannabis Radio. Welcome, George, to Hemp Present.
Hey, hi, my Seattle friend. How are you? How's everybody out there?
I'm good, my brother. I'm good. Thanks for taking time out to talk with me today.
Let's
just begin with how you ended up in the criminal justice system. What happened? Were you really busted with a truckload of cannabis?
No. Matter of fact, I never even had a parking ticket. My father was in the mob. I was. I worked all my life. And then bottom line is that my godfather, who was the boss of Philadelphia for many, many years, Angelo, he gets killed. And, you know, there's a lot of craziness, a lot of violence, but it didn't pertain to me at all. But all of a sudden, I had overtures from people from all walks of America. Yeah, you know, guys, you know, suit and tie guys in the shadows. And they thought I had them. They thought I was raised right and I had a good thing. And so they introduced me to it wasn't called cannabis back then, brother. It was called weed, pot. They didn't even call marijuana grass anyway. And I got involved and it was only a short-lived time. It was actually 3 years in my life, no parole sentence, the CCE, continual criminal enterprise. I actually wasn't even in the city. The government thought that I had the secrets to the Philadelphia mob, and they targeted me, and they actually brought in 3 loads of weed 3 different times to create the overax of just 2,600 pounds. And that caused the CCE. But long story short, before I went for sentencing, they have it's called the probation department, which creates your sentencing format, your guidelines, the direction that they want the judge to send you. Well, my guidelines were 48 to 52 months. As leader managerial role, that's 52 months max they could have gave me. I got life, no parole. First person ever in America to get that sentence is a nonviolent first offender. Completely, completely insane. And it went further than that. You said I was sentenced in 88, but I was actually arrested in 83, sentenced to life, no parole in 84, but I beat it in 86. I actually beat it for the technicality, but I still had the judge who was very ready to call him the hanging judge. And he gives me, never happened before in history again, he gives me the life, no parole again. So that's why my computer, when it computes, it says resends in 88. I mean, it says sends in 88, but actually I've been in prison. I was in prison since 83, 32 plus years.
So they kind of threw you to the wolves because of your family associations.
Yeah, well, they thought the prosecutor of my case even went to Washington in front of Senate subcommittee and said that he was going to bring down the Philadelphia mob through my indictment. Lo and behold, my indictment was everybody was just weed people, no records, and there was nobody in the Philly mob. So the only thing he could do to save his career was sentence me, put me in solitary. And they moved me around the country in some horrific, horrific places. And even the wardens used to tell me, Martorano, I don't have you in my hole. It's that prosecutor in Philadelphia. So all I could do, I should tell the warden, no disrespect to you, warden, but tell him to bring it. And that's how it was for 5 Christmases.
So you spent 5 years in solitary in what they call a boxcar cell, an empty steel tomb with just a slit?
I've been in cells that were actually condemned. They were condemned cells where you actually had to defecate in a hole in the floor, and they had like a clutch, car clutch, to release the water. And first thing you better do is get yourself a bucket, put over that hole so the rats don't come up at night. And you know, that's the way I lived for a long time, and I almost lost my mind. And
what are your thoughts, George? What are your thoughts on how we treat inmates? Is our prison system in some ways inhumane and counterproductive?
Oh, yeah. It doesn't make a bit of sense. I mean, They got state-of-the-art places for way more violent offenders in Europe. They work on treating you much better and rehabilitating you with all different programs, etc. And back in the early days, there was absolutely no program. So, you know, I made my heaven out of hell. Basically, as the decades went by, I was the creator of programs so guys could find a way out. But those 5 years in solitary, it's just like you had completely no say whether you lived or died. Thank God I lived.
So you spent, you know, decades in prison. You were facing life in prison. Did you think you'd ever be released? How hopeful were you that you would be freed eventually?
Every 6 months in prison, you have what you call a review. They review you. And it's a documentation of you, what you've been doing for 6 months and et cetera. Well, my first intake review, no, it's the wrong word, it's not intake review. My first 6 months review, you get a piece of paper. And, you know, you go in the office, they handcuff you, and you go in the office with staff, and they give you this review. Well, I was already in solitary, so it wasn't much of a review. And then they hang, you know, you're handcuffed behind your back, and you're brought back to your cell. You're on I was on what you call four-man hold in solitary. That means everywhere I went from point A to point B, there was a lieutenant and four officers around me to hold my cuff behind my back and my wrist.
Jesus.
Pulled up high. But anyway, I got back to my cell after my review, and I fell asleep. I was tired. I fell asleep, and I hit a little paper on my bars, you know, my bars. So I get up, and I look at it was the printout from the review documentation, and it had my release date, and it said released upon death. So that was my first official review from incarceration, and that's how it went on. For a while until they policy changed and they couldn't use them wording anymore, and it just said life no parole. But actually, my first documentation said release upon death.
That's crazy, man. While you were in prison, you achieved several distinctions. Really, you are considered one of the most prolific writers in the federal prison system, having authored more than 31 books, short stories, screenplays, poems. You published a self-help booklet for inmates. You prevented the hijacking of an aircraft by prisoners, and you're one of the first inmates in the Federal Bureau of Prison System to exercise your First Amendment rights digitally by publishing a blog. Where did you get your relentless drive and your positivity? What kept you going?
Well, it wasn't. I actually broke the ground for other people to express their First Amendment rights in the 90s, in the mid 90s. I started a blog with a company in Fort Lauderdale, and actually we had to via the creativity through London, and it was called Mob King Pen, P-E-N, not. Like a pen.
King like pen, write, like a writing pen.
And basically, yeah, mobkingpen.com. And all I was doing was, I needed money for lawyers. So I created a PayPal. And I just wrote fictional stories. The first person ever in the world to ever do that. And I was selling the stories for like 99 cents. And like I said, I had lawyers to pay. I had children, you know, I raised my children from the cell, and I got locked up and shipped twice. Was the first time, I mean, brutally, they're just torn from my cell and thrown in conditions unbelievable. So I actually, and then I finally got this attorney out of Maryland, and he actually physically went right to the head of the Bureau of Prison and says, you know, this guy has a inhumane sentence. He's been tortured for years, and it hasn't stopped. Now you're shipping him and ripping him up from his, he's trying to be near family. And I was actually locked up and shipped twice, expressing my First Amendment. So I'm finally, the lawyer says, it's either this or we're going to go civil act. You can't do this. And they backed off. So and ever since then, it was easy sailing, basically for me. And then as the years evolved, I taught more prisoners in the creative writing classes than anybody in the world. I graduated hundreds. And, you know, tell them to express their First Amendment rights. Brilliant.
What kept you going, man? I mean, that sounds like that would break a lot of people.
Well, I realized basically that I had an inner job to do, because if I, put my shoulders back and stood erect and, those first years in solitary in Marion, Illinois, it was the worst prison in America. Everyone basically only had 370 men. Basically, I was the only one that didn't have a body. Had bodies in and out of prison. All the gang leaders, and they have documentaries about Marion with the Aryan Brotherhood and the Mexican Mafia and stuff like that. So I realized that it was a simple choice. There was a fork in the road, and I had to decide whether to become beast or better.
George, hold beast that thought. I got better. A fork in the road too. We have to take our first break. Let's continue in just a second. We're going to hear a word from our sponsors, advertisers. Take a pause for the cause, because it's Laws and Laws. George Martirano.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
Oh, let the marijuana llama tell you something now. About a game for your phone, gonna make you say, wow! The game's about the game of growing cannabis for cash. Grow the seeds, sell the bud, put the savings in the stash. Little by little, your empire grows large. Put different celebrities inside your entourage. You can choose to play with Snoop or me or Cheech and Chong. Cypress Hill, Willie Nelson, Wiz Khalifa with a bong. The name of the game is Hemping, that's the point. Download and play while you light yourself a joint. The business of cannabis should be no crime. Hemp Inc. is even hot-proofed by the man who run High Times. Oh, yeah? Get it on Android and iOS today. Marijuana Llama out. Got to tend to me on crap, channel. Money don't make itself. Hemp Inc.
Are you disturbed by the prescription medication commercials on television and their endless list of side effects? They go on, and you end up having to take multiple pills to counteract the problems caused by the first pill. It never ends. Have you looked into CBD as a more natural option? At Saturn Ranch, we produce all-natural CBD topicals and THC-infused edibles. Premium lab-tested hemp-derived CBD is the most important ingredient in our products. From topical balms, salt scrubs, bath-soaking salts to tinctures and edibles, you're sure to find something to help. Family-owned and operated, we at Saturn Ranch believe in and use our products daily. Don't put anything on your body that you wouldn't put in your body. SaturnRanch.com.
Strainwise Consulting is the most sought-after consulting company for cannabis business applications and management contracts. We consulted on the first recreational license in the world and have had an over 95% success rate on applications submitted. The industry is growing at such an exponential rate that building a powerful and lasting cannabis business is a number one priority. Here's Strainwise's Sean Eubanks.
In our first 5 years, we branded and supported 9 medical and recreational marijuana dispensaries and approximately 160,000 square feet of sophisticated and efficient product cultivation.
Strainwise Consulting has the experience and expertise to guide you through the process.
We're back to Hemp Presents, only on Cannabis Radio. Now, back to our headstrong emperor of hemp, Vivian McPeak.
We're back on Hemp Present with George Martirano. George, we talked about your prison time. Let's move on to the present. What are you doing these days? What projects are you working on?
Just doing a lot of public speaking. Matter of fact, I'm meeting the producer tonight for dinner. There's a school here. It's called the University of Autumn Reed Charter School. It's a school in the poor neighborhood. But the city has built a brand new facility. It has a nice stage and seating capacity of almost 300. And I'll do a show there to donate the money to charity. So I'm working on that, and we'll probably have it filmed. And then I believe after that, I'm trying to get out to Southern California. I think I got to do a show at a botanical gardens down there south of L.A. So basically that's all I try to do is do my shows. I do full shows, skits, and I public speak. And do the best I can with the little I have.
Speaking of that, you've been a featured TED Talk speaker. How important is it for you to share your experiences with others in a way that transforms your prison time into a positive force for good in the lives of others? How important is that to you?
Well, it's important to understand that no matter what roadblocks you have, whether it's emotional, physical, financial, whatever, you can get by. You can do something. And you have to do it in the right manner, especially with all the terrible things that are going on in the society. My city alone, breaking news every morning, gun violence every morning. So, it's easy to take the negative side. It's easy to complain. It's easy to, put the blame on others, but be yourself and try to come up. And I'm not saying to create some great institution, but just create some good sense that you can pass on to some young person that can take heed in it and maybe change his life with you.
George, you've been so outspoken and public since you've gained your freedom back. How generally do people react to your story? What kind of response do you get from folks?
That's a little bit of a hard question. It all depends what level of, level.
What audience?
Yeah, audience. Like you guys out there in Seattle, I feel so comfortable and you guys understand the situation. So then there's a situation. Sometimes I'm invited to parties by well-to-do people, and I don't go. I know what they want. They want me to, get up there and tell my tales, and to be interesting. But that's not what it's about. It's to be interesting to help others, not to pleasure the stories along. So,
right.
It's like I said, you have to be choosy, which I am. I learned, it's trial and error. I learned by my mistakes. I just was invited somewhere where the rich and famous live, and I'm not going. I don't want to go. And they wanted to pay me okay for public speaking, but that's not the audience. That's not the audience, Vivian.
Speaking of that, you attended the Hemp Fest, Seattle Hemp Fest, recently. What was that like for you, seeing everything that goes on at Hemp Fest?
Well, I was there twice, and my second time was just great. And what I liked about it, my program, I'm trying to stop a lot of violence in America with my program. And then one early morning, there was about seven or eight Seattle police officers on bikes wanting to talk to me about my program, wanting to bring it to the city. So that basically made my trip
nice.
Worthwhile.
Nice.
Yeah. On both sides, the law enforcement, non-law enforcement, they don't want to see hurt. They don't want to see the innocent hurt anymore. Like I said, I do the best I can, Vivian, with the little I have.
Do you think things are changing at all?
Ah, jeez.
It's a tough one, isn't it? Yes and no?
Yeah. Yes and no. I think individually, when I go visit a data, I don't go right into a household and talk to some people with some problems. And, I have a lot of success with the little one-on-ones, awful lot of success. And that's what I really warms my heart. I don't have to be in front of an audience in front of 500, 600. I can go into a home. These two, three home family members are through some dire straits. And, my wisdom and my help. And I do that on a daily basis. I pride myself every day to at least administrate best I can to those in need.
What is WeBelieveGroup.com? Is that an active website?
No, not anymore. We Believe Group was very, very active. I think you guys were involved in all that. That was a site for for my release. I have so many websites, so many things going on. That's just unbelievable. I'll pay attention to that. Eventually, I'm just going to have when this thing gets, whatever I'm doing gets going, and it's really helping society, the staff, I'll reunite all those websites, as long as it's helping people.
How can people support you right now, George?
Just tell them, send some money to you, and you'll give me any money.
Seattle Hemp Fest, we did raise money while you were in prison and put money on your commissary there to support you.
I mean, ladies and gentlemen, whoever's listening, this man, Vivian, and those good people.
Sharon.
And Sharon and Amfest, these are amazing, amazing people. You know, quickly, my scenario. I'm Lamix in the cell. I'm going to die there. And all of a sudden, you get these great people from Seattle. They come to you and help, want to help, and have help. Numerous letters that got to the deciding practice. You know, my letters from the Seattle Amfest people, you know, got to judges and prosecutors and pardon attorneys and congressmen and senators. So, you have a great thing going on out there. Please, please continue. Please continue to help others as I do over here in Philadelphia.
Oh, well, George, you know, no problem, man. I can't tell you, you know, Sharon, our general manager, really is one of your biggest supporters, and she made sure that you came out to Hemp Fest and got to hang out with us, and you're just such a righteous brother. It's everything we're about. You know, the whole reason we've been doing Hemp Fest for 26, working on 27 years, is because of people like George Martirano, man, and you know, we got to make a change. And I kind of feel like we've taken two steps forward and a step back with things going on in D.C. right now and everything. But I think that I don't think that we're stoppable. I think that eventually we're going to turn this around. But unfortunately, there's people in there right now suffering, you know, suffering on nonviolent drug charges.
Well, hopefully we're going to have a Seattle Hemp Fest on the Jersey's going for recreational use. That's the first bill on the new governor's desk. First bill he's passing is recreational cannabis. You have Delaware, Pennsylvania will follow suit. So hopefully in the next year or two, we're going to have a big Hemp Fest working with you guys right here in the East Coast Hemp Fest organization. Because
yeah, man,
let's
do it.
Yeah, that's going to happen. I'll see that it's going to happen.
My guest is the amazing George Martirano. We are going to take another break here, word from our sponsors and advertisers, and come back with our final questions. So don't go anywhere.
Time to roll out for the people that let us Hemp Present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
Introducing 420 Cloud, ignited by MSIG, one of the fastest growing social apps around. The only app you'll need for all things cannabis. Find the latest cannabis news, videos, and stories, ranging from business and tech to sports and medicine. Start your career in cannabis by seeking, identifying, and applying for jobs through our expansive listings. For businesses, 420cloud.com features a full-scale cross-channel network, monetizing high traffic for big data conversion and analytics. Download 420 Cloud now from the iTunes Store or Google Play. MSIG.com is a publicly listed company on the OTC, symbol MCIG.
Cannabis concentrates have been around for hundreds of centuries. In 19th century America, extracts mixed with other herbs were sold as a miracle cure. Now, Apex Supercritical has elevated the science of extraction into the 21st century. Apex Supercritical is the leader in CO2 extraction, which is the cleanest, safest, and purest way to extract plant oils. ROI in as little as 3 weeks. Our cost-effective systems are fully automated with an industry-leading 3-year warranty. And if we don't have your system in stock, we can build one in as little as 4 weeks, bringing CO2 extraction to the masses. Learn more at apeksupercritical.com. 4-week build excludes high production systems.
The smoke is rising, and the next crop of podcasts devoted to cannabis providers and enthusiasts are ready to be harvested.
Welcome to the Cannabis Radio Network,
founded by respected rainmakers who have been producing award-winning podcasts for over a decade. Industry headlines, business updates, medical reports, marketing, and e-commerce education rolled up perfectly for your consumption.
Let's grow together. The Cannabis Radio Network. CannabisRadio.com.
We're back to Hemp Present, only on Cannabis Radio. Now, back to our headstrong Hemperor of Hemp, Vivian McBeak.
We're back for our final thoughts with George Martirano. George, it's such a great interview. I got a little carried away. We ran a little bit over, but what are your final thoughts? What would you like to leave our listeners with tonight?
Just that, prison in general in our day and time, let's be frank, some people need to be there with their violent tendencies and stuff like that. And then there's, people like me who languished there for cannabis. And I tell you the truth, over the years, I used to graduate 400 students every season, over 400 students. And every time the institutions that I taught at or waited for the prison bus, I always waited for a guy with a cannabis sentence. And the reason why, because they were very great to work with. They were good to deliver in front of the classroom. So, and I have a phrase of, rumors come and go, but still I like to know why they hid it so. I just don't understand. I never met a bad cannabis person in prison or out. So what do we do? We just keep doing best we can. Just keep speaking and get the public to understand. Incidentally, I'm doing it in leaps and bounds in Philly. I mean, I sit down at dinner with people that you would never have happened years ago, with judges and prosecutors and politicians. They all want to hear my views, the police force. So now, if I can do it, I would love to see that times thousands where guys coming home or not been in prison. Just work, talk, do the best you can. And before you know it, you have an audience and people are listening to you.
Well, thank you, George. My time is up, bro. You are such a righteous brother. Certainly, let's stay in touch. And thank you for being on Hemp Present, man.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Good evening.
You bet. Now, I'm going to get to a weekly feature, Hemp Present, on CannabisRadio.com with the quote of the week. And here it is. Being in prison for 7 years was like being in an army that never drilled, never deployed, and only fought itself. And that was poet, novelist, singer, actor, and ex-convict Reagan Butcher. That concludes this installment, Hemp Present, on Cannabis Radio. I want to thank Brasco, my man in the control room, all the Cannabis Radio sponsors and advertisers. Join me next week for some more reefer repartee and cannabis confabulation with some special Hempo Sapien on a journey to justice. Until then, my friends, stay strong, stand tall, toke it easy, and don't forget to email me at hempresent@gmail.com. Turn up the music, maestro, because I'm out.
Marijuana.
The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without proper consent of CannabisRadio.com is prohibited.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.